So Debbie's reaction to discovering her own white privilege was to do something about it. She wound up building a whole new career as a racial justice educator and activist. But talking about white privilege doesn't always have such positive outcomes. Philosopher Naomi Zack believes that if we really want to fight racism, a good first step would be to stop talking about privilege. Steve Paulson asked her to explain.
Naomi, you've said that we need to rethink the way we talk about privilege. What's wrong with the idea of this phrase, checking your privilege?
A privilege is something extra. It's a special convenience or a perk that you get, which is not vital. And I think what is at issue is rights. It's not a question of whites having privileges that non-whites don't have. It's a question of the rights of non-whites not being taken as seriously as the rights of whites.
Can you give me an example of a privilege versus a right?
There have been a number of cases of unarmed young black men who've been shot by police who were not otherwise involved in any criminal activity or confrontation. This has given rise to a national conversation here and there about white privilege, and it's considered to be a privilege if people don't have to worry that the police might accidentally or deliberately in the heat of a moment shoot their children. Well, that's not a privilege. You know, that shifts what's really going on to the ease that white people have in the culture. What those incidents are rights violations. They're not a question of whether or not a different group has certain privileges. So to dwell on privileges while the rights of other people are being violated is something like in the case of wealth, we address poverty by asking rich people to tell us how nice their lives are.
It sounds like you're saying that by reframing this issue as a matter of rights, it becomes a moral issue and probably also a legal issue. I mean, in terms of actually how we define this whole thing.
Well, you know, it's a legal issue in a very interesting way because we already have formal equality. I think this is a question of more work in legal infrastructure rather than requiring any change in laws that already exist, because you have to realize that for most white people, the system functions fairly well.
Can you play this out for me then? So what specific actions might be taken, let's say by police departments, if this particular issue is seen as a matter of a violation of rights?
Police could have a number of changes. There could be better rules of engagement. There could be a relaxation of the policy of racial profiling.
I want to back up for a moment and sort of unpack this whole notion of privilege, of white privilege in particular, because there has been so much focus on that recently. And you're not actually saying that white privilege isn't real, are you?
No, I'm not. No, white privilege is real. What I'm criticizing is the discourse of white privilege is undertaken by white people as a response to some of the tragedies that the country has witnessed over the past couple of years.
Okay, so what don't you like about the way white privilege is talked about these days by academics and other people?
Well, I think it's irrelevant. I think it's somewhat decadent. It doesn't address the problem. It becomes an avenue for self-flattery and reflection. I mean, one of the things it might motivate people to do is it might motivate greater politeness. That's a good thing. But it doesn't address the hard issues. In other words, it allows white people to talk about themselves, and things are okay for them. So that's not really a problem. I don't think it's a way of addressing an ongoing problem.
So basically you're saying that the white people who do talk about being privileged, they might feel a little guilty about it, but they're not going to change anything for the most part.
No, they're not going to change anything. And it's not clear that guilt serves any purpose here. I mean, I think there's a question of passivity.
Let's pick up again this question of racial profiling by the police. Why do you think so many police departments actually do engage in this kind of racial profiling and all of these cases of young black men in particular getting stopped?
Well, I think that they're using the criminal justice system statistics instead of the statistics for the overall population. The other reason is there's been a policy in policing called the broken window policy. And the idea behind broken windows is that if you stop small crimes and misdemeanors, you'll prevent larger crimes from occurring. So pick up people who are drinking in public or loitering or jumping subway turnstiles, and that will discourage more severe violent crime. There's some dispute in the literature about how accurate that is.
Now, there has, of course, been enormous public attention to this whole question of police violence over the last two or three years or so. But I'm wondering if you think we need a different kind of national conversation about these issues. I mean, is there a better way to talk about this?
Yeah, we need more specific proposals, you know, and we should hear from the police.
Do you see any of this happening? I mean, what you've been talking about, you know, sort of the emphasis more on rights or more specifically hearing more directly from the police themselves. I mean, are we starting to see any kind of a shift?
Well, yeah, I think there is a shift. Oregon, the state in which I live, recently passed a law against the use of racial profiling. Now, the numbers of non-white minorities in the state of Oregon are relatively low, but nevertheless, that's a big change. I don't know the details of that law yet or how it will play out or what kinds of difference it will make, but this is a national process, and we're probably not even yet in the middle of it. We're probably still in the beginning of it.
Well, this is a sort of a fascinating perspective. Thank you so much for coming in to talk about this.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Philosopher Naomi Zack talking with Steve Paulson. She teaches at the University of Oregon, and her latest book is called White Privileges and Black Rights.